than singing. But before I do that, I'd like you to turn to the person next to you in just a second and say one thing you appreciate about Rob's testimony. So you talk about how God is being glorified, or the clarity of their vision, or the their emphasis on discipleship, or whatever it is, or frisbee golf, or ultimate frisbee, or whatever it is you remember from that presentation that you appreciate. Go ahead and just turn to the next person next to you and tell them what you appreciated from it. All right, I'm going to go ahead and say what I appreciate to all of you, and I really appreciate the clarity of vision and how they have really decided that on direction, and they're sticking to it. That just as I was talking with Rob, just the utter commitment to the gospel and discipleship, and how that infiltrates everything they do, is awesome. And in fact, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about deciding. And so if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them with me to Luke chapter 16. We did Luke chapter 15 last week, and this week we're on Luke chapter 16. This is kind of how we roll around here. We're just going to go passage by passage, and that's what we're doing today in Luke chapter 16. This is, again, about decisions. And some of you might have decisions that you are facing that are coming up in your life, and this might help you with that. So here we are in Luke chapter 16, verse 1, and he, this is of course Jesus, said to his disciples. Now disciples is of course a key word in Luke and in all the Jesus material, and it's a key word here. It's a key word you heard Rob say a whole bunch of times, and that means these guys were trying to learn how to live their lives like Jesus. They're trying to follow Jesus. They're disciples of Christ. So Jesus said to his disciples, this is going to be about discipleship. This is how we should be as a group of disciples. And I'll be surprised if you don't tell me at the end, or you aren't thinking to yourself quietly, this is about the weirdest parable you've ever heard. And he said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. So in the context, there's a lot to do about money. The parable of the prodigal father who had two sons, and the one runs away. He's asked for his inheritance. The man was fairly rich. And then we have another rich man coming up in chapter 16, verse 19. There's a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. In the context, there's a lot of riches. This will have to do with money. There's a rich man who had a manager, and the charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. So like, you're fired because you're wasting my stuff. Can't be an asset manager if you're bad at it. You're fired. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking away the management? He's taking the management away from me. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I don't like the manual labor, and I don't like begging. So what should I do? I have decided what to do. That's going to be key. I have that underlined. You might underline it in your Bible. I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their homes. So he has a plan to be professional house guest. Like, what are you majoring in? How to be a professional house guest? How to kind of go from house to house? Like, that's what his plan is. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, there's lots and lots of them. We'll only see two examples, but there's lots of them. He said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. 100 measures of oil, according to our footnote, is about 875 gallons. Or 3,200 liters. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. No one will ever miss those 400 gallons. This is about Jesus telling his disciples how to be disciples. Are you okay with that? Guy decides to be a professional house guest. He decides, in order to be a professional house guest, what he should do is defraud his master? Are you okay with that? Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat, about 1,000 bushels, roughly, or 37,000 liters. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. No one will ever miss those 200 bushels of wheat. We'll just make those go away. Again, defrauding his master. The master commended the dishonest manager. Now, that's not what I expect. When I read this, I expect, you know, Jesus talk about weeping and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness here for cheating. Like, cheating is bad. Don't do it. That's what I'm expecting. Is that what you're expecting? I mean, are you expecting something different? I don't expect the master to commend the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Didn't see that one coming, Jesus. Now Jesus applies it to their lives. He says, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of the light. Here's what Jesus is saying about discipleship. Here's what he's saying about what it means to follow him. What he's saying is, disciples decide. Disciples make shrewd decisions. Disciples finally figure out what to do and then do it. Do you do that? Or do you kind of wander around in indecision? Jesus says disciples decide. So think of the last parable we read back in Luke chapter 15, where the dad has two sons and the younger son goes and squanders everything he has and is living with the pigs and just made one bad decision after another. And finally, what does it say? It says he came to himself and said, this is insane. I am going home. And then what does he do? He goes home. He does it. And see, that's what disciples do. Disciples actually make decisions. Disciples come to their senses and decide. This is, I think, what Jesus is saying. In the world, in the business world, people decide. People pick. People make shrewd decisions. He says, my disciples should pick. They should make shrewd decisions. And I tell you, so Jesus goes on with this thought, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. So there's a note on that word wealth. And it is, if you have the King James Version, it is the word, anyone have it? Mammon. It's the word mammon. The Greek, and it's, in fact, that's the Greek. It's just transliteration of the Greek word mammon. The Greek mammon, a Semitic word for money or possessions, also in verse 11, rendered money in verse 13. I'll have that up there so you can see it. So Jesus is saying, be shrewd in your decision-making and use unrighteous wealth. Well, what does it mean, unrighteous wealth? Does he mean we should defraud people for the sake of the kingdom? Is that what he means? Let me use an analogy here and see if this can help. So according to Time magazine, paper money can reportedly carry more germs than a household toilet. So when you take out your wallet and you touch your money to pay for your whatever it is you're about to eat, you hand it to them. It's just like you went all over a toilet, and then you eat and you don't even think anything of it. It gets better. And bills are our hospitable environment for gross microbes. Viruses and bacteria can live on most surfaces for about 48 hours. But on paper money can reportedly transport the live flu virus for up to 17 days. This is dangerous stuff. Hey, careful with that. It's dangerous. Also found on bills. This is my favorite part, so I saved it for last. You know what's coming, don't you? Fecal matter. Not everyone who touches this stuff thinks about sanitation very carefully. See, it's not that there's anything inherently sick or contagious about money itself. It's that it lives in a system where not everyone washes their hands. It lives in a system where there is sickness, so it can carry disease. I think it's the same idea with unrighteous wealth. Wealth lives in an unrighteous system. So you better be careful with it. So you want to be intentional about how you use it. So Jesus says, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, and it will, they may receive you into the eternal dwelling. Now, what is the they there? Like who? Who's going to receive you into the eternal dwelling? Well, the first and maybe the best option is God. It could be that he's referring to God in the plural. Like in the beginning when God said, let us make man in our own image. God is often referred to in the plural because he's so big, you might as well refer to him as more than one. And it's like a foreshadowing of the Trinity. So it could be that it's referring to God, that God may receive you into eternal dwellings. It could also be angels. So in the following parable, that the one that's coming, the rich man and Lazarus, if you drop down with me to that in chapter 16, verse 20, and at this gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22, the poor man died. Ready for this? This is what's going to be the they up there. And was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. So the they could be the angels who will come and get you when you die and bring you up to heaven. That's another possible solution. So it could be God, could be angels, could be the poor themselves that will reform, like Lazarus in this next parable, that would form like a receiving line in heaven that would cheer you as you come because of the way that you would help them on this side of eternity. Could be God, could be the angels, could be the poor. Either way, the point is, disciples decide for eternity. Disciples decide to make shrewd investments for eternity here on this side of things. So my question is, are you doing that? Are you asking yourself the question, like, is this a shrewd investment that will carry me well, that will follow me favorably into eternity? In all the small things that you buy, and there's a lot of small things that you buy day in and day out, or week in and week out, month in, month out. Do you ask yourself ever, is this a spiritually shrewd investment that will follow me favorably into eternity? Do you ask that? Like when you're talking about making a really big decision financially, not like monstrous like a house, although that would be fair too, but like one of the kind of big decision you make like a couple times a year or once a year or once every couple of years, do you ask yourself this question? Is this a spiritually shrewd decision that will follow me favorably into eternity? When you're thinking of career moves, do you ask yourself this question? Is this a spiritually shrewd decision that will follow me favorably into eternity? When you're thinking about going on the mission trip or not going on the mission trip, do you ask that question? I think a bunch of you do. And if you haven't yet, follow Jesus with us and start asking that question. Because this is, at bottom, part of what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus decided to show up for us in eternity past, and this would follow him favorably into eternity future. This is part of what we just celebrated and how he was born, that should say Bethlehem, there south of Jerusalem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He showed up for us, and that had spiritual significance for us. Disciples decide. So now in verse 10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. Okay, so disciples decide for eternity, and now they don't just make that as a one-time decision, but they keep on deciding. They keep on making good decisions. One who is faithful in a very little will be faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. So what lots of people say is, well, I'll start making good financial decisions when I have more money. And what Jesus would say is, the kind of decisions you're making now, you'll make more of when you have more money. The kind of person you are now, you'll be more of when you have more money. And if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, so the mammon or the money that is part of this world system, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So disciples decide for faithfulness. They decide to be faithful with what they have, where they are. And so this is true. Like if you're 15, 16, and you have your first job, you get your first paychecks, God is deciding how much to trust you with right now. This is true when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, when you're in your 40s. It's true when you have small kids, when you have older kids. It's true before you're married. It's true after you're married. It's true when you're widowed. It's true all the way through that God is looking at you and watching what you do. Are you being faithful with what you have? This is of course what Jesus did, that he was raised there in Nazareth, and then when he began his ministry, was rejected in Nazareth. Then he went to Capernaum, which is on that side of the Sea of Galilee, and he wasn't rejected in Capernaum. He was received warmly in Capernaum. I mean, people really wanted him to stay in Capernaum. He was like a celebrity or a rock star in Capernaum. People were coming to see him. But instead of staying there and just enjoying a comfortable life, where we are in the book right now, as he's on his way down to Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins. And this is something that he did faithfully. This is a decision he made and kept on making as he walked down to Jerusalem. This is a decision he made and kept on making. And this is faithfulness, to make a decision and keep on making this decision. To be trustworthy and continue to be trustworthy. Finally, Jesus says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. You will have to pick. You will have to come to a decision at some point. And so finally, disciples decide to serve God with money. So even if you say, you know what, this cash stuff, filthy, rotten, I'm not doing it anymore, it's unrighteous, it's probably sinful, I'm going to live without money. Well, good luck with that. But, I mean, if you decide I'm going to join a monastery, and I'm going to be in this monastery, and I am not ever touching money ever again, well, then someone else has to handle the money for you. I mean, unless you go and live off the grid someplace, you are going to have to handle money. What Jesus is saying is, decide to serve God with money. Serve him with it. You can't, it's part of the world system that we live in. So honor God with it. And I just have to say, I want this to be an encouraging time for you, because this is something that I think our church has really, really gotten right over the years. That generosity and making spiritually shrewd, missional investments for the kingdom is really something this church has, I think, gotten right. So this just in the last month, okay, we gave $10,000 to Barnabas Ministries. This is above and beyond our missions giving. This is just, like I say, just cash this last month, $10,000 to Barnabas Ministries, which helps at-risk youth here in Allegan County in Allegan. They have a branch here in Allegan as well. We also gave $10,000 to Safe Harbor. Safe Harbor is a nonprofit where when police believe children have been sexually exploited or abused, maybe they're being trafficked, they bring them to Safe Harbor, and Safe Harbor helps them. We gave $10,000 to them as being part of Good Neighbors and to serve the children in this community. We gave $10,000 to the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission so that they could have a single point of entry to protect women and children that are there in the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, but also some of that money is going to go so they can help people get back up on their feet. We also gave $20,000 to Sacred Beginnings, which was started by a lady that was sold into prostitution when she was young, and finally, after several years of being trafficked, was able to escape. She found Jesus. Now she's going back out and inviting women off the streets. We also gave $5,000 to Closed Door Ministries so that they could start a sewing academy for women in a refugee camp who are desperately in need as a platform for sharing the gospel. Guys, this is $55,000 we've given away just this past month. And these are, yeah, praise the Lord. And these are what we think are true kingdom investments. These are things we hope will follow us favorably into eternity, that we think will multiply into the lives of others, that we're trying to reflect Jesus' heart in giving. We're giving because Jesus gave. We're giving because we're free because Jesus freed us. We want other people to be free. And so this is a way to serve God with money. If we didn't have money, we couldn't do any of this stuff. But we serve God with the money we have. This, I think, is driven deep within the DNA of this church. And I say that because there is 47 giving units, and I'll get to that. I almost forgot. We also received last week $16,000 to switch to LED lighting so that we're not spending money on our light bill as much and more money on mission as LED lighting will be more efficient. So as I said, there's 47 giving units, but even that contributed to the year-end offering, that means a whole bunch of you, it's not like just a few people gave, but a whole bunch of you gave to this. And even more of you give on a weekly basis. There's about 200 of you that give each year. Like, I just say that to say, you need to leave encouraged that this is a church that has decided to serve God with money. So here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. If you're looking at Luke chapter 16, and you go back down to verse 4, the man in Jesus' parable, Jesus has him say, I have decided what to do. Man, that's it. You need to decide what to do. There's got to be a point in time where you decide what to do. What will you decide to do for eternity? What will you decide to do faithfully? What will you decide to do when it comes to serving God with money? I think you want to be the kind of people, continue to be the kind of people, that point your lives at eternity and helping other people in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we can spend together. Lord, I thank you for the way you lead us and guide us. Lord, pull us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Encourage the team to come back up. We sing one last song together, reminded of